Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is 65, is a squad-level combat based in Vietnam, and it's designed by famous designer Mark Walker, and he is here with us today. How's it going, Mark?
It's going fantastic. I don't know how famous I am, but...
Hey, if you have successful games, I'll consider you famous in my book. How about that?
Sounds fantastic. Thanks.
Great. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your company?
Okay, well, I started designing games and scenarios and stuff. It's not going to go that far back, okay? So everyone don't start getting sleepy, but... Probably about 25 years ago, and I had some luck with a game called Lock and Load in the early 2000s, and I used that game as the basis for a company called Lock and Load Publishing. I ran Lock and Load Publishing from about 2006 to 2013, and then I sold it, and in 2014, I started a new company called Flying Pig Games. And we've done a couple of successful Kickstarters, which are currently being printed. That's Night of Man, and it actually will be finished this week. But when I say finished, everyone that's listening, it doesn't mean you'll get your copy. It means it'll be sitting on a pallet somewhere, well, I know exactly where, in China, and being shipped over via ocean freight. So that takes about a month. And then we're hammering out the digital proofs with them on our second Kickstarter, Old School Tactical. I imagine that the production on that, I don't have a firm date. That doesn't mean it's a long way off. It just means I don't have a firm date. I would say that it will probably be completed by maybe the end of December or early January and follow Night of Man in by about a month to maybe a month and a half. It just depends. These things, they really fluctuate. It's crazy. And that's our company. We put out a magazine called Yah Magazine, and anyone that wants to can certainly check that out. Our site, our website is just like the company name, flyingpiggames.com. Yah Magazine is not affiliated with the company in the sense that we cover all kinds of games. And not just my company's games or games that we might produce, but other games. And neither is it one of your Sea of Gray wargaming magazine that drones on about history and all that kind of crap. We've covered everything from Dead of Winter to Rivet Wars to the Star Wars game by Fantasy Flight, whose name escapes me right now.
Is it the X-Wing game? Or?
Well, actually, we did. Or
the Imperial Assault game.
Imperial Assault. And we actually have done an article on X-Wing, too. And we also cover war games. I mean, I love playing war games myself. I love playing a lot of stuff. This latest issue actually has a huge article on Blood Rage, which I think is a lot of fun. It's a cool, I believe it's cool mini or not. I believe it is, which was a hugely successful Kickstarter. We also have a sister company that I founded, but I have run for me. I'm not directly involved in a running, called Tiny Battles. And what Tiny Battles does is it sells war games in Ziploc bags. And we use a unique printing process where we use a digital print-on-demand printer here in the United States. So it's not like if you go to that company and order a game, they go, oh, my God, let's get this out and get it printed. I mean, we are printing in small lots, so the games are actually in stock.
Yeah.
And they ship out quickly. What I like about the idea, and I want to apologize for droning on this, but what I like about the idea is you'll see a lot of war game companies that they have their folio line or something like that. And sometimes the folio line has different types of components. And I didn't want to be answering questions about Tiny Battle Publishing and how it relates to Flying Pig Games. Specifically, for example, Tiny Battle Publishing uses this unique printing process. And although all these games come with die-cut counters, and they're nice, the artwork's great, the counters are somewhat thinner than you're going to see in Night of Man, for example, or 65, or Old School Tactical, which use nice, thick 2-millimeter counters. So, you know, it's just the whole thing's different, and I wanted to keep it separate. But it's run for me by a young lady named Mary Russell, and she does a great job. So... was that the longest answer in the history?
No, it's Irene. That's great. That's very informational. I mean, I was very interested to hear about the magazine as well. I didn't know you did that as well. I knew about your company because we've had Mark on the show before when we were talking about Night of Man, but I don't think we talked about your magazine when we had you on the first time. So I found that interesting. So I'm sure someone else did too. But let's jump into it. Let's talk about 65. Why don't you tell people what it is and type of gameplay and what they can expect from it?
Sure. Thanks for asking. And before I forget, I'll send you a couple of copies of different issues for Yacht Magazine. You can give it a look. I think you'll like it. Anyhow,
sounds good.
Moving on. 65, interestingly enough, is based on the same system as Night of Man, with some grittiness thrown in there, I would say, because wargamers in general are going to be looking for a little bit more nut and bolt detail than I think the typical strategy gamer would. So it's a card-driven game, although you have counters on a map that you're moving around. It's not strictly cards. The counters on the map represent rifle teams, M60 machine guns, RPG teams, different tanks that were in Vietnam, from PT-76 to M48 tanks. The counters are huge. I actually had somebody that has seen a prototype copy that I have say, "Was this an enlarged demo counter? Are these real?" And they are. They're very big counters. The vehicles are 1.5 inches square, which is huge when you consider many, many, many war games just use 5/8 inch counters.
Yeah.
The infantry are 1 inch square. The hexes they go in are almost 2 inches square. So one of the things I wanted to concentrate on was big counters, thick counters, counters that are easy to read, and counters that are easy to play with. It's card driven. Which, as everyone I'm sure listening to this basically knows what I'm talking about. We use a deck of 54 cards. In any given turn, at the beginning of your turn, you alternate turns, and you'll get 4 cards. And those cards run the gamut of things from allowing you to do very basic actions such as move or fire, to some pretty special things, like there's a panic card in there, and if you've done a fire attack and you've managed to shake the enemy unit, maybe even reduce it, if you play this panic card and it completely panics the unit and it's totally eliminated. There's also cards that can be used if you go into melee combat, which is just simply when you enter the other person's hex. I mean, most of the time, for the non-war gamers listening, most of the attacks will be done, you know, on a hex 4 or 5 hexes away. You know, you're shooting your rifles at it or your machine guns or whatnot. But melee combat is when you enter the hex. And there are special cards called ambush cards that can be played by either player when you enter the hex to simulate springing an ambush, and you get to do your attack on the other guy before he does his attack on you. The counters are they are unique. They're kind of cool. Besides your typical stuff that you'll see on any game like this, whether it's whether it's a fantasy game where you might have knights and paladins and dragons, or whether it's a World War II game where you might have Germans with rifles and MG34s, almost all counters always, you know, they have an attack factor and they have a range and this, that, and the other. Well, what makes these counters different, and it's the same thing we have in Night of Man, is going down the left-hand side of most counters, you'll have these square icons. They're called abilities. And what they are, I mean, they'll be very, very familiar to role-playing gamers and whatnot. I mean, what they are is they give these units unique capabilities. For example, if you have a sniper, these are called heroes in this game. Most of the counters represent small groups of men, but some of them represent significant individuals. So let's say you have a hero that's a sniper. He may have an ability on the left-hand side of his card that's the sniper ability that lets him fire a very long range with no detriment. There are other abilities such as there's an ability called command. And you may have a hero that's he's kind of a leader type of dude. And if he has the command ability, what that allows him to do is, remember we mentioned that there are fire and that there are move cards, for example. Well, if you have a squad adjacent to this guy with the leadership ability, then he can play any card. The player can play any card to fire or move. It doesn't have to be a fire or move card. So there are these abilities that make in Knight of Man, what we use them for, well, we use them for the same thing in both games, but in Knight of Man, it was to differentiate the aliens from the militia and to add fun, cool things. Well, that's exactly what we use them for in 65 too, but what we're doing is trying to show historical differences in the two sides.
Yeah.
The Americans had a lot of firepower. BC don't have so much firepower. And then at the bottom of the card, just like in Knight of Man, these people have powers. Now, in Knight of Man, these powers might be there was a telekinetic that could pick up a enemy tank or squad and fling them three hexes. A favorite a tactic that testers would do in Knight of Man was Earth militia dude, is that, I mean, he would pick up an alien tank, and they were very hard to kill for the Earth tanks, but he would just pick up the alien tank and drop it in the pond and drown everybody in it. And so there were, you know, we had...
That's definitely one way to take care of them, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we would do in Knight of Man. Well, these powers also exist in 65, but of course they're linked to historical capabilities. For example, an American rifle squad has the power to play smoke, which means it can throw smoke grenades. The interesting thing about powers, if you think about abilities, and they're those things on the left-hand side of the card, that switch is always on. A sniper always has that ability to shoot for long range without any detriment. The powers can only be used when you play a card that says the word power. So there are only eight of those in the 54-card deck. So it allows us to do some really fun things where you might have to have some very complicated rules about how often a squad could lay smoke or something like that, right? Or how often American squads could shoot their grenade launcher. Well, you don't have to worry about all those rules since we make it a power. It can only be used when the owner plays a power card, and that's a self-regulating thing because there's only eight of them in the whole deck. And sometimes you'll get them in globs. Sometimes, you know, you can't buy one for love nor money. So that's basically everything. That's what's going on with 65.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, it sounds like a fun and exciting game, especially those people that are going to, you know, involved in war games or strategy games. It seems like something that they would definitely want to jump on for doing that. And as we're recording right now, you still have 16 days left to go on the Kickstarter. It's set to end on December 17th, but you're already fully funded. I mean, I've been watching the campaign page, and just as we've been talking, I've already seen like two or three backers, and so it's continuing to growing. So congratulations on another successfully funded Kickstarter.
Well, thank you very much. I think they call that the Barry Ricks bump.
There you go. That's totally what it is. I mean, they knew we were going to be talking about it. That's why.
Kind of like Stephen Colbert, but, you know, bigger in the game world.
There you go. Well, it's super exciting, and I encourage definitely everyone to go to check out the Kickstarter. So you could just type in all sorts of stuff. You could type in 65 or Mark Walker, his name. Those games will pop up as well. And also go to flyingpiggames.com, and we'll have links to all this in the show notes. And it's exciting. So congratulations once again, Mark.
Thank you very much, Barry. I appreciate it. And as always, I really appreciate you having me on. It really helps out, and it's a pleasure talking to you.
Definitely, and we'll definitely have you come on again when we have your next Kickstarter to look at.
Well, maybe even when you're holding a copy of Night of Man in your hands, and you can be going, what the heck?
There you go. And I'll definitely, when that's the case, I'll definitely make sure to put a review on the show as well. So we'll put that in the to-do list for the future, definitely. So thanks again, Mark, and also thanks to Dan Patrice for our intro and outro. He's Dan, the board game man. You can find him at thegeekallstars.com. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.